We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. God will never abandon us. Struck down, but not destroyed. Nothing, but nothing will be able to destroy us. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake.
Hello, and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way.
Last week, in the first part of his message entitled The Church Under Fire, we heard Pastor Brian Grant examine several instances of internal fire, issues that arose in the early church that threatened to split the unity of the Spirit and bring harm upon the church and its ministry. But we also heard the antidote that Scripture provides to resolve those very issues. This week, Pastor Grant continues the second part of this message, drawing a sharp contrast between the destructiveness of conflict within the church and how external fire, attacks from without, strengthen the church and even achieve God's purpose. Turn now in your Bibles to 3 John 9 as Pastor Grant continues his message. Here's Pastor Grant.
The third problem that I want to bring to your attention is a desire for preeminence. And in 3 John, verse number 9, the Word of God says, Diotrephes, who loves to be what? To be first, will have nothing to do with us. Diotrephes was a type of person who would get bent out of shape if his name wasn't mentioned. If the church didn't properly recognize him and make a big deal about him, Diotrephes would be upset. Do you know what this is a very difficult type of person to handle? Because this person, you have to be so careful what you say or don't say about Mr. Diotrephes. And I get the impression that the Apostle John must have spoken to Diotrephes about his damaging attitude. So guess what Diotrephes did? I just have nothing to do with him. Diotrephes just decided, this is the Apostle John. I mean, you see all the miracles that are happening through the hands of the Apostle John. And Diotrephes, Mr. Big Shot, he didn't like clearly what John had to say. He just cut him off. Sadly, the spirit of Diotrephes is still in the church today. And if you have the spirit of Diotrephes, ask God to help you. Oh, it's so much better if you ask God to help you rather than to have us come to talk to you, because it's always an ugly thing. It's an ugly conversation when you have to talk to Diotrephes. So may God help you. Amen? Don't let Satan cause you to be the cause of unfriendly fire. But fourth, so what have we said so far? We have said that one of the problems is ethnic or cultural differences. Amen? And now we are saying that one of the big problems is deserting the local fellowship. Deserting the local fellowship. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. And here's what the Word of God tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. Be diligent to come to me quickly. For what? For Demas has what? Having loved this present world and has departed for Thessalonica. Now, just so you know this, Paul was knew Demas very well. In fact, Paul mentions Demas in the books of Colossians and Philemon. So in three different epistles, Demas is mentioned. Don't you for a minute believe Demas was just a come to Jesus Christian, recently Christian. Demas was around. Demas was a co-laborer of Paul. And he's mentioned in three different epistles. So you can imagine the pain in Paul's heart as he writes, Demas has forsaken me. Now the word, the Greek for the word forsaken, doesn't mean that Demas had just left. The word for forsaken means that Demas had abandoned, that he had left him in the lurch. Can you imagine? This man is your co-laborer, he's active in ministry, and suddenly he just disappears without any explanation. Do you know that still happens? Did you realize that still happens? People just walk away. And listen, this is not a pistol shot, particularly if the person is active in ministry. This is not a pistol shot to the church. This is a cannon shot. When somebody who is active in ministry, without any explanation, without any warning, they just disappear. And I'm going to encourage you, my brothers and sisters, listen, there are going to be issues among us as believers. We're not going to all agree. Can we agree that we won't all agree on everything? If we all agree on everything at all times, somebody's unnecessary. Because you might not realize it, that one of the things that creates growth is disagreement. If handled well, that dynamic. You see, organizations where everybody agrees never grows. Growth needs some disagreement. If it's properly handled, we can be motivated and we can grow. But listen, so there will be disagreements. We can bet on that. But listen, let's make sure when the disagreements come, don't just walk away. If you do, you are contributing to taking a cannon shot on God's church. Enough about internal fire. He said, Brother Brian, don't tell us any more about internal fire. We got it, we got it, we got it, we got it. Have we really gotten it? It's bad. It's disastrous. And the problem is, it can be avoided and fixed. So let's talk about external fire. Because external fire, as terrible as it is, it often achieves a divine purpose. You see, what the devil designs for evil, God can use for his glory, amen? And that's the beauty about external fire. And in fact, we're going to see as we go through Acts chapter 6 and 7, and you need not worry, we're not going to go through the whole Acts 6 and 7. But as we touch on the highlights here and look at the dramatic story of Stephen, you're going to see that God used the external fire for his purposes. And so, of course, we know that Stephen was one of the seven deacons, because we believe these seven men who were appointed in Acts chapter 6, just so you know where GCA stands, we believe that this is the beginning of where deacons are found in the church. And so Stephen was one of the seven deacons, and he was now about to become the first Christian martyr. Stephen would be the first person who would be killed for the resurrected Christ. And as we study this story very briefly, I want you to just look with me at four benefits that we can see from Stephen's story. Number one, external fire shows that we're living for God. Turn with me, please, to Acts of the Apostles, chapter 6, verse 8 through 14. The Bible says, now Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, did great wonders and miraculous signs among the people. Opposition arose, however. And verse 11, they secretly persuaded some men to say, we have heard speak words of blasphemy against Moses and against God. Listen, Stephen was preaching and teaching in the power of the Spirit of God, and it upset them so much, and the only way they could find a way against him was to lie. I want you to hold your finger in Acts of the Apostles chapter 6 while you turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. Acts of the Apostles chapter 6 while you turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. First Peter chapter 4. And verse number 15 says there, if you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or as a thief or any other kind of criminal or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. Amen. If you suffer for doing evil, listen to me now. If you suffer for doing evil, don't say you are experiencing external fire. Do you hear what I'm saying? If you suffer for doing evil, realize you're getting the strap. You know what the strap is? It's God's chastisement. You see, external fire is when we suffer because we're living for God. And the apostle, as he writes there in 1 Peter, he says, once that happens, thank God that you're suffering for him. But secondly, another benefit of external fire, it allows us to reflect God's glory. Don't lose your spot in 1 Peter, but here in Acts of the Apostles chapter 6, here's what it says here in verse number 15. All who were sitting in the Sanhedrin looked intently at Stephen, and they saw that his face was what? Like the face of an angel. Wow. Wow. And so as a result of this, Stephen now gets the opportunity in Acts chapter 7 to powerfully proclaim the word of God. And many times when we are caught in external fire, it creates opportunities for us to magnify the name of Jesus. Amen. You remember Paul and Silas in prison, and they were imprisoned, but God gave them an opportunity to preach to the Philippian jailer. And the jailer came running in. What must I do to be saved? External fire often brings about divine purposes. So here we are in 1 Peter. Did you hold that with your finger? 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 14. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed. Here's what it says. For the spirit of what? The spirit of glory and of God rests on you. Did you see that? The spirit of glory and of God rests on you. Listen, the second benefit of external fire, it allows us to reflect God's glory. The third, it draws us closer to the Lord. God wants us to get to the point in our lives when it's all about Jesus. Amen? That's where Stephen was. And so here we are in Acts of the Apostles chapter 7. You see, I skipped all the way to chapter 7, verse 54. Acts of the Apostles chapter 7, verse 54. It says here, when they heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at Stephen. Stephen had proclaimed to them the gospel and their responsibility of not accepting Jesus and turning their back to him, on him, and crucifying him. And when they heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. When we are caught in external fire, it draws us closer to the Lord. Stephen not only saw the glory of God, but he saw Jesus standing. You know, the picture the New Testament gives us is of a Jesus who is what? Seated at the right hand. But no, Stephen, as he is going through his fire, he doesn't see a seated Jesus. He sees a standing Jesus. And Jesus is standing, I believe, for many purposes, but I just want to believe, as I use my sanctified imagination, that Jesus is about to welcome the martyr home. That Jesus is saying, well done! My friend, sometimes before we hear that well done, sometimes it's going to mean that we're going to be subject to external fire. Sometimes it means that you and I, as believers in Jesus Christ, will have to be counted. And so the question is, if that were me, would I be willing to stand up and be counted? External fire may cost us. And oh, would God help us to understand that? Because we're living in a day and an age when Christianity has become something that you accept so that you get a ticket to an easy life, a ticket to a full bank account, a ticket to good health, a ticket to heaven. But I want you to know that what God has called us to is discipleship. And there is indeed a cost of discipleship. So what should we do when we are challenged, when our tough time comes? I'm not going to take the time to read it, but I encourage you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I'm going to go there just for a little because I think I need to go there. But 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I want to read these verses because our tough time, I'm probably speaking to somebody who right now you're going through external fire. Look at what it says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I'm going to turn you first to verse number 7. 2 Corinthians 4 verse, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the all-surpassing power is from God and not for us. Here's what the Apostle Paul says. Are you listening to me this morning? If you're with me, say amen. Amen. He says, we are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. God will never abandon us. Struck down, but not destroyed. Nothing, but nothing will be able to destroy us. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake. Listen, my young person. God has given us something to live for, and if needs be, to die for. I hope that's how you feel. Christian friend, I hope you believe that this Jesus is worth living for, but that he's worth dying for. Amen.
We invite you to join us each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. as we go through a sermon series based on the book of Acts. This series is entitled Pentecostal Power, Lessons from the Early Church. The messages coincide with the television series AD on NBC. These studies will explore the epic journey of the first followers of Christ who, through the power given at Pentecost, changed the world. Come and discover how these lessons learned from the early church can change our lives today. For further information, please call our church office at 215-242-5550. That's 215-242-5550. And now back to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
And so as we go on and we get to verse number 16, the apostle says, therefore we do not lose heart, no matter how tough things are, my believer in Jesus Christ, when external fire comes, when you're called on to make a stand for God, the apostle says, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, though outwardly there's trouble on every hand, but he said, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. We are being drawn closer to Jesus, for our light and momentary troubles. The apostles say, all the drama that I'm experiencing for the sake of Christ. And you all know the story of Paul, all he went through. And the apostle Paul, as he looks on all he had suffered, he says, this is a light and a momentary trouble. He says, but it's achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporal, but what is unseen is eternal. Oh, I thank God we've got something that is bigger than all the temporal stuff. We've got some eternal benefits waiting for us in heaven. But oh, thank God that these trials, these external fires, will do something special in your life and mine. But then finally, these trials achieves God's purpose. Don't miss this. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 8, verse 1. On that day, the very day Stephen was martyred for Jesus, on that day, a great persecution broke out against the church at Jerusalem. Verse 4, those who had been scattered, they were scattered. Verse 1 tells you they were scattered through Judea and Samaria, and those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. You remember what Jesus had said in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1? You shall what? Receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon me, you, and you shall be witnesses to me where? In Jerusalem, in where? Judea, and in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. And so in Acts chapter 1 to Acts chapter 6, we have a church on the move, but a church on the move in Jerusalem. Stephen gets killed, and all of a sudden, because of the killing, the martyrdom of Stephen, Christians are scattering. People are running all over the world. They're going to Judea. They're going to Samaria. They're going to go to the uttermost parts of the world, because God is using external fire to achieve his purpose. And then finally, if I said that before, I mean it now. I can't leave you. I have to at least go to verse 57 to 60 of Acts chapter 7. Verse 57. At this they covered their ears, and yelling at the top of their voices, they rushed at him, dragged him out of the city, and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he fell on his knees and cried, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Thank God he didn't die. You realize it? Interesting, the scripture didn't say he died. He fell asleep. Fell asleep on earth. And he woke up in heaven. Can you put yourself in the picture? The stones, what a way to go. The stones are pelting the man. Rocks, as I would say when I was a boy, rock stone was hitting in his head. The man is bleeding, and they just kept pouring it on. He's weakened, he's on his knees, and the stones keep coming. Steve says, "Lord, please don't lay this to them. Don't hold it against them." Does it remind you of anybody else? Or does this remind you of Jesus? He is being brutally treated. And he says, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." These people didn't want to hear Stephen's message. Perhaps you came in to please somebody, but you didn't really want to hear the message. But I want you to know, it doesn't change anything. Jesus has given his life for you. He died to save you from your sin. Listen, that story shows what we are really like without Jesus. It shows almost
how I really want to spar with God. God, I am satisfied with the way I am. The Bible says, they stopped their ears. Just think how silly that was. All these adult men. And they're rushing with their ears. The Spirit of God is speaking to you this morning. And he's saying, I died. Jesus is saying, I died for you. Will you open your heart and say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my heart. Come into today. Come into stay.
Thanks so much for tuning in today. We trust this was a real encouragement to you. If you made a decision for Christ today, or if we can be of any spiritual encouragement, please contact us. Counselors are available to respond to your questions and to send you resources that will help in your walk with Christ. You can reach us weekdays at 215-242-5550 or by visiting our website, gcafamilychurch.org.
Living God's Way is the broadcast ministry of the Germantown Christian Assembly, located at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We invite you to join us for worship each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. and for Tuesday night community connections every Tuesday at 6 p.m. And now, on behalf of Pastor Brian Grant, Steve Washington, and our entire church family, this is Taylor Noble reminding you to tune in same time next week for another edition of Living God's Way.